This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
You know, sometimes, to be honest, I mean, sometimes, you know, I tell a lot of guys that convert to Islam, you know, reach out to your dad. Your dad was not around,
but Allah chose him to be your father.
You know, I sat him down. I was like, Dad, I kept stuttering because I couldn't utter the words. I mean, I kept saying, I, like I was about to say it, but I couldn't, right? He says, it's okay.
Boom! He says, man, I love that.
You're not a good person if you're facing something more magnificent and powerful and you kind of humble yourself. That's just your self-interest. Mm. The real understanding of where you're at is ultimately when you're over in front of something that you don't necessarily have to control yourself around, but you still do. That's real restraint. That's real masculinity.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How's everyone doing? I'm Abdullah Oduro, and welcome to the Iman Cave, where we talk about issues of male excellence while being grounded in faith. It was meant to be. It was meant to be. This is what we say at times when something has passed us, something has happened, whether we like it or not. It was meant to be. In Islam, this concept is called Qadr. It's called predestination, meaning that God has allowed something to happen, whether we like it or we don't like it. Allah has allowed it to happen. In regards to the man and his masculinity, what takes place in his life, he has to accept it, go through it, put his head down, and walk through that dungeon at times, and sometimes it may be that garden. Talking about predestination in the life of the human being, here at Yaqeen Institute, alhamdulillah, we had a series that just passed us called Why Me? Let's be honest, each and every single one of us has asked that question. Why me? Why did it happen to me? That's the name of the series, Why Me? Don't forget to tune into this series because it talks about issues in life that go through a certain individual's life, speaking about predestination directly and indirectly. And here today, alhamdulillah, we have two of our illustrious actors in this beautiful, beautiful series called Why Me that you've probably seen before. Alhamdulillah, we have to my right, brother, the infamous Muhammad Al-Ayyashi, the farmer or the rancher, mashallah, I didn't read it earlier. Mashallah, Muhammad Al-Ayyashi is a beautiful brother here in the community. And alhamdulillah, he's the first one that took me and my sons out on the Eid al-Adha last year. We were able to sacrifice the animal from the sacrificing to, mashallah, putting in packages. And mashallah, very, very beautiful brother. And anytime you come to Dallas and you want to go and learn how to sacrifice, look the brother up, mashallah, Muhammad Al-Ayyashi. I'm almost sure you're familiar with his face. You're familiar with his attitude in some of the scenes. Alhamdulillah, we're going to expound upon. And to the right of him, to the left of me, is the one and only Nu'man Farooq, who played
Hassan.
Hassan. Who played Hassan. We know Hassan can mean the one that is beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. That is a beautiful thing. So these two actors, alhamdulillah, what we're going to do today is we're going to take a journey through three scenes that took place in this series, Why Me? And we're going to expound upon it, looking at it from the male lens of where we could fall short in embodying masculinity and where we can be victorious, productive, conducive to our families and society in regards to masculinity. But first, Brother Muhammad, if you could give us a brief background of yourself. Firstly, tell us where you were born, where you were raised, and how you got this role.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. I appreciate the wonderful introduction. Alhamdulillah, I mean, I was actually born and raised here in Dallas. I'm a native. I'm originally from Tunisia.
Tunisia, okay.
North Africa, alhamdulillah. So I love the shirt, for sure. Alhamdulillah, as far as like getting this role, I actually know Fozzy, the director. And so he put a post asking for, you know, people who can be involved, and they were looking for continuity. You know, they want to have different characters that kind of follow the like their process through life. Mm-hmm. So he asked if I knew anybody who could be a mini-me, and then also if I could come myself. And so I was able to, alhamdulillah, find somebody, and I told him, like, yeah, like, I got you. So I texted him back, you know, we scheduled a date. Next thing you know, we're on set. So
Wow. Folks, we call him a wizard.
Magic is haram, but this guy.
So sometimes you gotta watch and be like, oh, the Lord, so mashallah, alhamdulillah. You know, mashallah. He's definitely in his element when he has that camera. You know what I'm saying? He's in his element. May Allah bless him.
I mean, he has a vision unlike anything else.
Mashallah. Painting that picture, it's kind of hard to explain at times, but he just does his thing, mashallah, to make Allah. So, alhamdulillah. Brother Rahman, firstly, where are you born and raised? Mm-hmm. And how were you picked for this role? Mm-hmm.
So, assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum salam.
Jazakallah khair for having me here.
No, exactly.
So happy to be here, alhamdulillah.
I'm going to get you an autograph later. Don't worry about that. Inshallah.
If
I find my autograph on eBay, I'll be really sad about that.
He's really sad about it. Yeah, inshallah.
So, I was born in Illinois. Okay. Chicago, Illinois. Sure. I actually was born in a suburb, McHenry, Illinois, just like half an hour outside of Chicago.
Okay.
We spent only 4 years there. Moved down to Louisville, Texas in 1999, when there was nothing here.
Louisville, yeah.
And then in 2003, we moved up to where I live right now, which is just like North Dallas area. And if you think Louisville was like nothing, like where I live at that time where I lived, like was not just, I mean, there was one road going into the town, one road going out. Like that's what
the
it
town,
was.
You know?
That's what it was a town. And so, so how I got the roles, believe it or not, I was I was in a coffee shop, Sohba, which is a coffee shop out of Qalam, like it's sort of a brand out of Qalam Institute. And I was there with my wife one day, we were just doing work, like that's why we go there, right?
Sure.
And in walks Fozy, mm-hmm. and he's looking for people to act for Yaqeen, right? I had no idea what it was. Mm-hmm. I did acting in the past, and he goes to my wife first, asked if she wants to be in it, and she was like, you know, I don't, you know, My husband likes to act, so, you know, you can ask him. And, you know, Fozy comes to me, he asks me, you know, we have like a 10-minute conversation. I told him, like, I did acting in high school, post-high school. I did acting classes in college. And that was it, right?
Mm.
About a month later, and so this is October 23. This is all when that happened. October 23,
okay.
Like 2023. And then November comes, there were auditions for the characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I actually couldn't make auditions that day because I was helping my wife get ready for her bridal shower. I actually had went to a friend's house. Him and I had to make something for the bridal shower, and so I couldn't make auditions. And I was actually totally gutted because I was like, "Man, I can't be in this series. I'm not gonna get cast, right?"
Yeah.
And subhanAllah, when I later find out from Janice, there were actually people who auditioned for Hassan, the character that I ended up playing,
mm-hmm.
and it was just a matter of like the dynamics between the actors just wasn't working out. A month later, in December 2023, I get the email that I was still casted as Hassan.
But you didn't rehearse.
But I didn't rehearse. And I think it was just a matter of like, they just, you know, they said, well, we'll just go with him. I think it was because of like, he has the experience, he's done acting before, and that just sort of ties into the overall picture of like other, right? Because mm-hmm. it's like, I didn't audition, but they still chose me as Hassan. And so, December comes around and we start filming, and
that was a lot of pressure, wasn't it?
Did you know
when they sent the email that there were previous people that auditioned and didn't work out?
No, I actually found out from Janice a month ago. Actually,
a month ago from today.
A month ago from today. Yeah,
which is well after the series.
Well, this
is
way after the series.
We're in Shabbat right now, so this is
It's really funny that you mentioned that because I, you know, whenever we were like doing the casting and all that, I was initially, you know, I was talking to Fozy about like the roles that we want to fill in, and I asked him, okay, like what positions do you have? And he was like, let me connect you, you know, with Janice to figure out all that. And I'm like, oh, cool, sounds good. So I'm talking to her, and she was like, yeah, you know, like you don't mind like what role? I'm like, I'm just going to volunteer, help out, you know, like I, you know, obviously we're really paid for this, we're just helping out.
Mm.
And she's like, so you don't mind? And I'm like, she's like, okay, so like, can you be a homeless man? And I was like, yeah, dude, like, that's fine. So yeah, I'll be homeless man. I was like, okay, you'll be homeless man number one. I'm like, I'll be homeless man number one.
Nice.
So I was like, chill. And I was excited. And I told my mom, and she was like, homeless man? Like, that's what you could present? No, but the studio was like a little far. So at that point, I'm like, hey, khalas, yani, it's okay. I was like, I can't really, like, if you need 5 minutes, you know, homeless man shot, whatever, I'll have like a friend kind of come in and cover it. Like, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's whenever they were asking about like the main role for Hassan. And I was like, okay, like, you know, like, that sounds more interesting, you know, like, going back and forth to film it for a while makes sense. And I was like, okay, yeah. But then they're like, are you married? And I'm like, no, I'm not married. And they're like, okay. And you can just hear, like, the disappointment and the Fozy and whatever. I was like, why? And they're like, well, you know, we want to make sure like Hassan is, you know, has married to his wife in real life, that he's going to be like in the show.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, sounds good. And like, I was like, what else do you have? And that's when they started telling me about like the mini me. So I actually bought one of the, you know, I work with refugee kids.
Mashallah.
And one of them looks kind of like me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he ended up being cast, Omar, I got cast as, you know, the younger version of myself. And then when they told me who my dad was going to be in the show, my adopted father, turned into a man who I've known for like years before. SubhanAllah, man, that's crazy.
So you play what character?
So I play Yusuf, who's Hassan's adopted son.
Okay.
The main character. So he's my adopted father in the show.
And Hassan is the main character of the whole YME series. Just for those that didn't tune in, which we hope you tune in to this series. I just want to take time out. SubhanAllah, I remember when we were coming here to do this show of Iman Cave, you know, we have to walk through the studio. Just shout out to all of you, really. Really the epitome of teamwork and expertise. Ihsan. You know, I saw that every day I walked through the studio. I mean, mashallah from Brother Ahmed, the cinematographer, him and Fozzy's collaboration, just stuff like that. I don't want to say magic, it was amazing. You know, just seeing how they collaborated and then seeing the organization from Hafsa, Sarah, you know, everyone that was there and just the professionalism of getting the work done. I mean, it was like take two and they had a little, I was like, okay, this is real, you know? But really, really, I just love the teamwork and may Allah bless all of you all for your work and professionalism and being, taking this very, very seriously, and you can see the quality of the work, mashallah, tabarakallah. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a small journey through some of the scenes, and then we're just going to build off of those scenes, but looking at it from the lens of the young man or the older man, and inshallah, if you see yourself in some of these scenes, please, in the comments, relate it. If you, you know, feel that level of vulnerability and you want to reach out and say, you know what, I face this, or I love this part of the scene because it reminds me of so-and-so, please, relate that to us, because inshallah we'll be able to share that and we can all benefit from it inshallah ta'ala. Alright, so the first scene that we're going to talk about is the scene where I think you're asking for forgiveness from your dad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're being on the lookout for the vices hidden within you is far better than your being on the lookout for the invisible realities that have been veiled from you. Self-accountability breeds healthy regret over the way we may have treated people in our past, and humility with how we treat people in the future. Humility keeps you from oppressing others and yourself, and raises your rank in the sight of Allah.
Okay, so for the record, I mean, if you see the brother and sister hugging, just know that they're married.
Yes.
Okay, we just want to get that out of the way. This brother and sister hugging and touching, they're married, alhamdulillah, in real life. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin. So, explain to us this scene. What took place?
So what took place in this scene in particular? So Hassan, so what happens in the scene, what we just watched, Hassan seeks forgiveness from his father, and, you know, indirectly his mother as well, because his mother and father are sitting on a couch.
Mm-hmm.
Hassan comes down, kind of kneels in front of his father, you know, he just breaks down, takes his father's hand, kisses it, and kind of just puts it to his head, and, you know, his father just, like, takes him in, right, without hesitation. What led up to that scene is basically Hassan just realizing like all the mistakes he's made, and like it finally just clicking in his head. And this is also the same time where he is, you know, aligning himself to the deen, like he's getting on the deen again, right? Or rather getting on to the deen. And so everything just lines up perfectly, sort of just coalesces together, and he has that eureka moment where he's like, man, I've just, you know, I've messed up so much, especially with my parents, mistreated them, whatever, and you know, I need to seek forgiveness from my father.
It's interesting how you said it just clicked, you know, in a eureka moment. Yeah, how old were you in that scene?
So Hassan in this scene, he's like mid-20s. Yeah.
And his parents were old.
Yeah, 50s, 60s, yeah.
50s, 60s.
Yeah.
You know, having those moments and recollecting, and I think it's important in this particular situation as a young man that may be aggressive, and he's probably coming out of that aggressive years of the teenage years.
Yeah.
It's time, usually on that age, where you start to study yourself and find yourself. I remember for me, it was my early 20s. I was like, man, what is life really about? And at that time, I was really searching. I was learning myself, and then I was searching for the purpose of all of this. Like, why does all this matter?
Sure.
Right? And we're going through that process. That's why, subhanAllah, you know, I was talking to a brother earlier, the whole concept of i'tikaf.
I was staying in the masjid the last 10 days in Ramadan. I would advise you young guys to do it if you can, preferably in a masjid where no one knows you and you're not hanging out with your friends. You hang out with your friends is fine, but preferably by yourself to really, really, and I'm going to use this term because sometimes it's used negatively, to be bored. Studies show that boredom is very, very beneficial for the human being to recalibrate. And they did some studies showing that people are very altruistic, charitable, when they're just sitting there bored. Let me get up and go donate some blood. Let me get up and go do something. It's very, very important for the man to go in his, oh, this is not a plug, but to go in his cave. Right? He has to detach, man.
Yeah.
What was, what, how did the Prophet receive a relation? Aisha called it Kani Tahannath. He used to meditate. And Allah chose to come to him at a time when he was fully detached and he was enriched with introspection. Like just sitting and pondering over life, man. It is so important for the man to do that, because when he has those levels of responsibilities or things that stress him out, like I'm almost sure, Hassan, you did some of those things, you were stressed out. You know, as we're going to see in future scenes, even though you asked for forgiveness, you still made mistakes after that.
Yep.
And that's okay. You know what I'm saying? You're going to go through those trials of life from mistakes that you made, those choices. But what I loved about this scene is that you acknowledged it. Right? And I want to hear what y'all have to say, because sometimes, you know, the relationship between the father and the son can be a real rocky one, man. You know what I mean?
It's a very interesting one.
Yeah.
Especially in like 21st century Western countries, is a very interesting relationship.
It's like a lion's den, man, because, you know, the dad sees himself in his son and he's not going to budge. He's not going to budge.
Too similar.
And the son sometimes can have an authoritative presence like the dad, and he's going to challenge him. So for the dad to take him, what I liked about this scene is the dad took him in.
Yeah.
The dad took him in. You know, a lot of times if someone's not going to take someone in, it's going to be the dad says, get out of my house. And the daughter says, you know, the mother would come at the door and be like, I'll talk to him, you know.
Right.
With that scene, what Muhammad, what did you see particularly with that scene?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of something that, you know, a lot of people, I don't know if they really captured, but what you just touched up on, right? It's not even a matter of him coming back to the deen, coming back to his father. It's how quick his father was. So first he picked him up. I love that. Right? He kind of picked him up and he said, yeah, I love it, yeah, and you're forgiven and all that. And you kind of just stand up a lot lighter. See, I think the most difficult thing, and I've seen this consistently, people love to talk right now in today's modern day and age, you know, there's a lot of bashing of your parents. Right? It's like, oh, they're abusive. Everything is abuse, subhanAllah. Even when they're just looking out for your well-being, it's abuse.
Exactly.
So whenever he came through here, like, apologized to his dad, and his dad kind of picked him up, and right there, like, that moment, you could see that, you know, this is when you have everything you need in the world. You have a roof, you have food, you have your family. Right? You really don't need anything else. And, I was kind of thinking about, like, that's why Islam emphasizes the importance of family. Right? And, like, you know, even, like, if he didn't do that, what would happen to him? Right? What rabbit hole would he fall down through? He'd just start to spiral. The Quran even says, yani, like, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. Whoever goes away from the memory of Allah, you know, his life is basically darkness, and we're going to raise him on the day of judgment blind. Right? And he says, قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَا حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. Allah, why'd you raise me, you know, blind when I used to be able to see? And subhanAllah, small things like that that we experience throughout our lives, it kind of helps really humanize and legitimize the Quran. Because when we hear the stories of the Prophet, when we hear the Quran, sometimes we kind of just know it's like, ah, it's like, it's true, yeah, but we don't really believe it.
It feels distant.
It feels distant, right? It's kind of something from a fantasy. But whenever he kind of comes in and pictures it, he comes back to his family, his dad right away kind of picks him up, right? And you could see the relief in his eyes, you know, and the comfort, and he's just losing it, like he's, you know, tearing up and emotional. That vulnerability in front of his father is the true dynamic that you normally should see between a father and a son. But you can kind of come to them for guidance. But here we're kind of hot, wide, and trained, like, no, it's not, don't go to your dad, like they kind of have like a, oh, he's like an authoritative figure, so therefore he's automatically bad.
Right.
We're trained, everything authority-wise is bad.
Right.
Right, to the point where people are even trained against, like, you know, Islam and Allah, because they refuse to accept authority. They call Islam oppressive. They call their fathers oppressive. Everything is oppressive. It doesn't make any sense. So when he kind of comes and he asks for forgiveness, it's because he kind of understood the number one most important essence of any Muslim is to submit.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, he submitted.
Mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah, that opened up all the doors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's beautiful because, you know, it reminds me of so many verses, but, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa abdu Allah wa shaitan, wa bil wali daini ihsana. Allah says, and to worship Allah and do not associate any partners with him, and to your two parents, mm-hmm. be good to them. Excellence.
Mm-hmm.
Excellence is not perfection.
Right.
It's do your best to be your best for the sake of Allah to them.
Right.
Right? Because that scene, you know, Sheikh Omar was mentioning humility. وَخْفِدْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ. Allah mentions the two parents. He said, and lower the wings of humility to your parents.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes, to be honest, I mean, sometimes, you know, I tell a lot of guys that convert to Islam, you know, reach out to your dad. Your dad was not around. He was not around. But Allah chose him to be your father, man. Your father made the wrong choices, but you making that choice of being a man, and overlook is can be a loaded word. To forgive but not forget.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To write a letter, not an email, but a letter, and send it to him, write it in pen, let him see the erase marks, write it and send it to him. Express your feelings, but be respectful to the best of your ability, but let him know how you feel, and I acknowledge you, you know, as my dad. I remember a brother said, I don't know if I can do that yet. You know, I told him, I said, I appreciate your honesty. He was in the hospital, and he never met his dad. He was like, I don't know if I'm ready for that. Right? The fact that he's honest, I appreciate that. But I told him, just like, look, if he leaves this earth, most likely you won't be able to live with yourself. You're always going to know what was that. Just one conversation with him. What does he have to say?
Mm.
You know, does he apologize? Is he not? So this scene is really, really powerful for me because, you know, I have boys myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, young teenage boys. And, you know, you hope that they'll live your legacy. You hope that they know what you expect out of them. And, you know, you just did a good job as a dad.
Mm-hmm.
So when I particularly see this scene, it's also to sons, like, look, your dad's going to make mistakes, you know, and you're going to make mistakes, but it's really important for you to spend time alone by yourself. As a teenager, you don't have to always be online. You don't have to be around your friends all the time. Right?
Absolutely.
To spend time alone and to hold yourself accountable. That's one of the strongest signs for a man, mm-hmm. is that he holds himself accountable. And when he does that, he's willing to transcend those barriers that hold him from being the best version of himself as a man.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to your parents and being humble, crying in front of your dad. You never know. Your dad may start crying because you've opened the door for him.
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me of one time, partner, I'll turn it over to you and one son became humble and opened up to his dad and apologized. Dad started crying, and the mother and dad and son, they just started hugging each other, and the dad opened up. The son was the means for that, and that it was all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed it to happen.
It kind of opens up some doors that you never expect to have open, right? People think their dads are supermen, but they're still humans at the end of the day, and I think that's very important. You know, the same in Insana Biwalidayhi Ihsana.
Yeah.
Right? The Quran keeps repeating, be good to them.
Yeah.
It's not be good, like if they were superhuman, right, then you wouldn't need to be good to them. It would be fine regardless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need our worship, He doesn't need our praise.
Mm.
That's all for our own benefit.
Yeah.
Maybe our parents, they need our kindness and compassion.
You know, so when I watched this scene, what I immediately thought of was when I was preparing to go to Hajj, right? This is 2019, I'm 23 years old, and it's part of the readiness of Hajj is that you sort of like reach out to people who you've wronged, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like your parents, like maybe siblings, like friends, right? I would say the hardest was my father.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I remember I sat him down, and you know, I was like, Dad, I wanted to, you know, just talk with you. You know, I'm going for Hajj, so it's funny. I kept stuttering because I couldn't utter the words. I was just like, so hard for me. I kept saying I like I was about to say it, but I couldn't. Right. And subhanAllah, and this is where my father displayed his like, his sort of like masculine essence, if you will, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, it's okay.
Boom!
SubhanAllah.
I love it.
He's
man,
like,
I love
okay.
that.
you know. And when he said that, I was like, I just felt like such relief, man.
Relief. Look at that. That's beautiful. Let me ask you. What were you saying to yourself that was holding you back? Or what was, dare we say shaitan if we could, that was holding you back and made you stutter? Was it, he doesn't deserve this? Or, you know, he won't accept, was it, he won't accept my apology, or he won't accept my acknowledgement of my mistake? Do you know
what it was? You know what it was? It was the fact that, you know, like, I just wasn't close with my father growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just much, much closer with my mother. Like a lot of us, we're just naturally much closer to our mother. And so for me, it was like, it was weird to do this because, like, I'm not really close with my dad.
Yeah, I might be very emotional with
it. Vulnerable, too, you know.
Vulnerable, yep.
And, like, again, that was a really, and actually, I would attribute that moment to the day my relationship with my father changed.
Allah. And, you know, I want to make this point. Young guys, you know, we all make mistakes. Alhamdulillah, we're here to be vulnerable enough to mention some of them. It doesn't mean that you have to kneel on the ground and kiss your father's hand, okay? But do it in a way that your dad knows you're trying. Like, yes. His dad knew he was trying there.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents know if you're trying. Guarantee you. Because you are a part of them.
Yes.
And they see themselves in you. Right? There's some times I see myself, I'm like, oh, that's his mother right there. He's acting like, that's definitely his mom. And then I see some things that he does, and I'm like, oh, man, that's me. How would I deal with me? I don't know how I would deal with me.
So the hardest person to deal with.
Yeah, I'm a hard person to write. Or I never realized that I was that difficult in this behavior. So that's beautiful. You know, what's most important is that in Hajj was that mechanism. And that is what is so beautiful about the Sharia, man. Mm-hmm. About the Deen of Islam. The framework, it gives you so many opportunities to enrich your experience as a human being, relationships with other human beings, and in this particular situation, the relationship between the father and the son, and in masculinity. Because again, that emotional intelligence to another man.
Sometimes the father figure isn't really somebody that you can approach. Sometimes there truly is elements of, you know, deep-rooted issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one thing that we really got to understand, and I guess I'll address the audience directly, if you do even have problems with your father, right, if you can't feel like you can kind of come talk to him, open up to him, and have, like, you know, an emotional growth moment, that doesn't mean you should just completely cancel them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Prophet ﷺ emphasized, even with people that we don't know, that if they're problematic people, right, you'd still at least be having, like, a good working relationship with them.
Right.
And the same thing applies to the father, right? You should always at least try to maintain having a relationship with them. If you have to take, like, a healthy boundary of space, then, I mean, there's no harm. If it's truly abusive, not like, oh, he didn't say yes to whatever you wanted, so therefore, no. If he's truly abusive and you need to take some space, there's no harm in that.
Yeah.
But maintain a relationship, because you never know when they'll be the ones who are actually coming and seeking forgiveness.
Yeah.
You never want to close that door.
Exactly.
And you might not feel like you have a good emotional relationship with your dad. And that's something common, especially like when, you know, a lot of households, you know, in the
background, households
all across the board, right? You kind of have like that, you know, I'm a man, like no emotions, whatever, right? But then look at Ghazza. Look at the dads in Ghazza, you know? They're probably the same way with their kids, where they're going to come and be like all emotional or whatever. But they're walking miles, putting their lives at risk just to get the basic sustenance, or doing what they can, putting their lives on the line. That's masculinity. That's the fathers. And I'm very confident that the fathers that some people, you know, that some of us might feel, you know, a certain type of way towards, would do the same exact thing.
Yeah, and as like the sons, we may have to take that first step. You know, because like, we can't expect our fathers to be Mr. Perfect, Mr. Superhero, and have 100% on his emotional intelligence. Like, again, for a lot of us, our fathers came from war-torn countries, or they came from a completely different country. They didn't have time to learn what emotional intelligence is in this country. They've been working since they were like 25 years old, right? And so,
yeah, their fathers treat them too. You never take that into consideration.
Exactly.
Their examples are like these rigid, you know, emotions.
The fact, if you reach out to your dad, and you're vulnerable with him, and he responds in a way that you didn't expect. He didn't respond in a conducive fashion. But boy, get up. Because that vulnerability or that emotional intelligence was probably a characteristic of your mother. And he's responding in the same way. He's probably not accepting, you know, your vulnerability, and he may respond in a, you know, he may not see as masculine way. Don't let that discourage you, man. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. But know that it's the humility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And Allah is muqallim al-qulub. You could break that generational, you know, trait that is negative of the toxic masculine traits that has been going on for generations in our culture. You know, the lack of acceptance of someone forgiving you or seeking forgiveness from you from that. So, you know, don't let Shaitan hold you back and say he's not going to accept it. No, do that action for the sake of Allah, and, you know, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will flip the cards. Maybe not at that time, but maybe on his deathbed, which are numerous times. The father reaches out and says, look, I love you. I know I wasn't the best kind of person, you know, and leaving that legacy. Because when you grow up as a young man and father rejected your friends, you'll be able to tell your son. And that goes to the next scene, alhamdulillah, about legacy. What kind of legacy do you want to leave?
Yes, so, inshallah.
And right before your body is buried, as your janazah has been performed, I want you to imagine the masjid and then the graveyard filled with all of the people in your life. Some people you may have forgotten, some of them friends, a lot of them family, and maybe even some of those you didn't get along with, but they attended your funeral out of respect. All of them praying for your forgiveness before you go to your final resting place. Do you fear their witness or do you look forward to it?
SubhanAllah. Do you fear their witness or do you look forward to it? So, what led up to this scene?
So what led up to this scene is that Hassan, who got into the habit of smoking when he was in his college years and then reverted back to his habit of smoking in his like mid-30s, that caught up to him when he was elderly. He began having these like coughing hits where he would cough out blood, and it got to the point where it was so bad he was on a bench with his wife. He coughs up blood, he sort of just passes out, falls over on the ground, and then he's hospitalized, and then essentially his life is deteriorating from there as he's reminiscing like his younger days and wants to leave the earth on a good note. Hassan ends up passing away, and then the janazah is held with his adopted son is there, and then some friends are there as well.
When did he adopt his son?
He adopted his son. So
when did you adopt him?
Yes, so I adopted him. So Hassan adopted his son Yusuf in his like 30s, mid-30s.
Okay.
That's when that happens. And Hassan, Yusuf, the character grows up and, is at the janazah. So.
Were you in your path of seeking forgiveness from Allah and you wanted to do a good thing?
So what happens is the reason Hassan wants to adopt him and his wife want to adopt is because the wife has a miscarriage. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that takes a huge toll on Hassan and his wife. Hassan has a friend who worked for this organization, and it was like an adoption center, right? Mm-hmm. Hassan goes to talk to him, and Hassan gets a flyer for this like adoption center, mm-hmm. this brochure, and Hassan takes it home with him. You know, he's on his phone scrolling, and he sees the brochure on the table, puts the phone down, picks up the brochure, and like this is where you see like Hassan's making that connection of, well, we may not have gotten the son our child the way we wanted to, but there's still another opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. So this is where they adopt their son Yusuf.
Yeah. What comes to mind when you actually looked at the scene, when you acted in the scene? Well, not you. I mean, you left us.
I was the boom ops.
You're the boom ops. Yeah. So, Muhammad, what were you thinking when you went through this scene?
You know, honestly, at first it was kind of, you know, different because, you know, like I said, having my man act as my dad, he's my older friend, right? So, like, there was some elements of just like, you gotta force yourself to be a little serious, but you look at him, you try not to laugh, right? But as the series progressed, like, it kind of starts to, like, you know, you kind of get past that, right? Mm-hmm. And so, when we were filming this scene, even though he was like 10 feet away holding the boom, like, you know, like, it's like he's there. You know, it was still, I didn't even feel like I noticed him, right? Mm. Because that scene was probably, like, the craziest scene for me. Mm. And the reason why was because of, like, during COVID, there was a community member that, you know, we were all pretty close to. He passed away, subhanAllah. And so we went to his janazah. And while we were there, I remember, like, I was standing there, and, you know, just next to Sheikh Omar, just, like, you know, that episode. And then his actual, like, the men who passed away, his sons were actually there, too. Mm-hmm. you know, Shehomo was kind of giving a talk to kind of like, you know, comfort them, and he was kind of like, you know, comforting them to make them feel a little better and explain how, you know, death works and whatnot. And that was like one of my first, you know, experiences with Shehomo. I've known him since he moved to Dallas, you know, like a long time ago. But like after that, like, he was kind of walking around, and I just walked up to him and I was like asking him questions about death. So while we were filming that scene, I wasn't looking at, like, you know, I just kept looking at Sheikh Omar and then looking at the grave, because I just felt like I was back in that original, you know, conversation that happened. I was like, SubhanAllah, like, it was kind of surreal.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking about, like, what would I, like, you know, when you're acting, you want to kind of, you know, embody what you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. So I was thinking to myself, like, okay, well, let's say I'm standing here, this is my actual dad's in the ground, mm-hmm. and Sheikh Omar is giving a lecture about it, and he was giving, like, a quick talk. And that bothered me a lot, you know, because to me, like, my dad is like my guidance.
Mm-hmm.
That's why whenever, you know, we were talking about that previous scene, I mentioned that, hey, I was like, you know, they come back blind, because I feel like I'd be blind in this world without my dad, right? That's who I look to for answers.
So heroes, man. So
it was truly, like, that specific scene, like, there was, you know, it was really, it was a heavy scene, I think, for the whole cast, right? Everybody's kind of feeling it, you know. I don't think anybody's really pretending to be sad. Yeah. We were all thinking about it like it was real life, and we were actually all in our feels.
Yeah, man. Nah, man.
I miss you.
Yeah. Now you think about it, man, that's when it's over. I remember when I saw my dad's coffin, you know, it was 67 years. You know, that's what I said. Life, the time span of life is a blink of an eye. You know, it's so quick. And you think about what you've left, what have you left? You know, it's not what you left for them, but it's what you left in them, right? Mm. What qualities, what values have you left for them? You know, SubhanAllah, when looking at, you know, being a man and being a leader and being a father and being a companion, being a good friend. And I want to touch on this as well. Even when we talked about the previous mistakes that Hassan made with his dad and asked for forgiveness,
yeah.
You know, that vulnerability sometimes, it's really, really important, as I've seen countless times, to have young men's groups. Like, you youth leaders, you know, these young men's, these young Muslim groups are so important to communities, to make it a place where it's safe for them to talk. A lot of men now, you know, they're divorced, they can't, there's no one to talk to, there's people they can't trust, because sometimes the divorces are pretty ugly, you know?
Yes.
Not about whose fault it was, but the man doesn't have nowhere to go.
Mm.
He has nowhere to go. There's no groups, there's no retreats. Right, and I think this is really, really important to really bring this to life, to where men have places. Not a plug again, but men have a cave, and this is really important. It's come to a point to where men need to find a place where they can sit together and talk. There's one situation that it happened. What I do is I'll go to communities and I'll do this program. It's called Dad Son. I call it Dad Son, but I get the dads with their sons. And I asked them three questions, you know, three major questions. And alhamdulillah, this idea really came about, mashallah, shout out to Omar Malik, because we kind of had this in our masjid in Propel. And we kind of put this together to where you ask, the dad asks the son a question, and the son asks the dad the same question.
Mm.
And one of them was, what was a hard situation you faced in your life, and how did you solve it? Never fails when I do this. The son finds something out about the father that he never knew. One time a father stood up, and he was vulnerable. I mean, this is his whole community. He's around his community, right? I won't say the city, but he stood up, and if he watches this, he knows who he is. He said, SubhanAllah, he said, you know, I graduated from college, and there was a time where I couldn't find a job. This is a normal challenge, problem.
Yes.
Right? Graduated from college, couldn't find a job. I have kids. 6 months, I can't find a job. My wife looked at me one day and she said, I think you're depressed. Kind of find out I was depressed. He said, so I got into jujitsu.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that is really, really what helped me.
Mm.
And then his son, he brought his son into jujitsu. And I remember when I met his son gave me a hard answer. I was like, mashallah, woman. You know, it's like, this is a rujayl, yani, a young man, meaning of the words, right?
Sure.
And then he turned around and he said, brothers, I highly advise you guys to get into some physical training, because it helped me release a lot of stress, and I didn't know how deep I was into depression.
Mm-hmm.
You can just hear a pin drop. Boom.
SubhanAllah.
That provoked another brother. As I'm walking around, I'm listening to them, you know, answer their questions to each other. One man, he says, can you just come here? I just want to tell you
yeah, I faced a situation, you know, wife got sick and so on and so forth. And as he started to talk about the fact that he had to prepare dinner and stuff every day because the wife was sick, his son started crying.
SubhanAllah.
Wow.
And then he was like, Bubba, why are you crying? And he's like, just mama, mama's so sick, and dad, you stood up and you stepped up. And he was, you could tell on his face, he was surprised that his son was like, don't worry about it, it's okay. Last situation from this gathering, it was another time, another masjid. The father stood up and he said, you know, I wanted to share that there was a problem I faced when I was, you know, wanting to marry this sister. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, I was of a different orientation and she was of a different, we were both Muslims, but different methodologies.
Sure.
Words, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the mother and father were like over our dead bodies. But alhamdulillah, Allah allowed it to happen when we ended up getting married. And that's his mother. And his son was looking at him like, he's like, really? Like,
yeah.
You faced a situation to where you were, you know, there was a relationship and y'all ended up getting married. And your mother, my grandmother and grandfather didn't want it to happen.
Mm.
Right? This stuff most likely can only happen in men's groups.
Mm.
When men are together and they share these stories.
Right? Vulnerable men see vulnerable men.
Vulnerable men, exactly, man. Especially for men amongst each other, because we don't want to let our secrets out, let's be honest. Especially if it's a problem with the wife or a problem with
finances.
Finances, yeah, exactly. That's what kind of led you to smoke earlier.
Yes.
Listen to smoke.
Yes.
Because you could do it alone, nobody knows about it.
Hmm.
You know, you do it alone, nobody knows about it, and then you're smiling in everybody's face, but you're dying inside.
Hmm.
You don't want to be dying inside all the way till your death.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
And that's why that scene is very, very, very powerful, because, you know, just remember, even as a man, you may have a problem with someone that has passed away, but it's more to look beyond that, the bad bill that you had, and to go and, you know, make dua for him, to go visit family, to go have a good word, say a good word to the family members. I always tell people at the funeral, you know, after you make dua for the deceased, is to tell the family members, especially the children, try your best to live the legacy that he would have wanted you to live. Like, what do you know that he wanted from you as a son, as a daughter? You know, and just put that upon yourself to the best of your ability to embody that.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I think, yeah, especially like, you know, on the topic of vulnerability with the men and whatnot, you know, I think that there are times where we got to understand we can't take on the world by ourselves. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was far stronger in, you know, spirituality and deen than we will ever be.
Mm-hmm.
But even he still, you know, right away he went to his wife, you know, and he was kind of talking to her. And even outside of that, because sometimes you can't go to your wife about some issues.
Mm-hmm.
He went to his, he had this sahabi, right? So he'd go talk to them. You're like, listen, honey, well, here's what's going on, here's what I'm thinking, or how he felt. They knew how he felt. That's how we have all these ahadith.
Mm,
if he internalized everything, we wouldn't have the ahadith
that
we have. But the fact that he shared them outwards, and he kind of did it in a constructive way. It's not complaining if you're seeking an actual solution. Right? It's not like, oh my God, Quraysh sucks. It's my vocal, how about that? No, like, he outwardly found solutions.
Mm,
that's kind of something that's really important, because you will not always have the answer yourself. The next person can. And so when we kind of open up to people, we still got to understand that, yani, this is the qadr of Allah, or in these situations, but you still might need help navigating these things, because we will all be tried and tested. But to be one of the people who are, you know, patient, it doesn't mean internalize everything and be stoic, right? As a man, there are circumstances where you need to do so,
right?
Yeah, I mean, whenever, you know, in this scene, Hassan is buried, right, and Yusuf is there, right, he's kind of just holding himself down. But, I mean, think about, like, being in that situation, right? It's a lot harder, for example, on Yusuf's mom, or his adopted mother, you know, what she's going through, and like the hardship of that. So you got to internalize it a little bit to be functional and kind of expand and experience, like, you know, what's happening, and also still be productive about it. You can't just let yourself go. But it's not a crime to go seek out, you know, comfort and support from other people. It's actually what we're taught by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi
Wasallam. Right, right. The Sahaba. They're called Sahaba for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sahaba from Sahab to mean to take with you.
Mm-hmm.
So they were the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yeah, so that's beautiful, man. So I think this scene is where Hassan is with his mom. I'm just going to say that. Hassan is with his mom and something happens which we'll talk about, inshallah. Bismillah.
And if this test leads you to anger and to hurt the people you love, How then can you begin to appreciate that it may be that Allah was calling you back to His love?
Remember, comment when you see that. Comment and let us know how you felt when you saw that. So, Norman, what led up to that? What was going on?
So, in the series, at that point, Hassan's father passes away, and then Hassan naturally takes over for that father figure role, right? He's trying to take care of the finances, cover for the finances, and he's stressed, obviously, right? And so Hassan gets into smoking. He's smoking at this point, and smoking is a way for him to sort of relieve that stress, you know? And so for him, he just wants to go outside for a smoke. He's also fighting with his wife as well, and he just needs a break from everything. So he goes outside, he goes for a smoke, and then his mom comes and interrupts his, like, sort of zen moment, if you will, right? She takes a cigarette, she breaks it in half, he's yelling at her, she's like, why are you smoking, right? And it's just a clash between mother and son, right? Classic example. Son gets angry, Hassan gets angry, he just walks off.
That's interesting. I like how you said classic example. Why did you say classic example?
It's a classic example because, I mean, subhanAllah, it's like, it's nothing we want to ever be proud of, but we have all gone through that at some point or another in our life, you know, clashing with our mother like that, yelling at our mother like that, even though we know it's, we're not supposed to do that, right? We know better than that, you know, yelling at our mother, right?
Yeah.
And so it's something that virtually every young man, every man can relate to that scene in the series.
How old were you in that scene?
So Hassan at that point, he's like early to mid-30s,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. And father passes away, so you have to deal with the stress of fulfilling the father role and the husband role as well, right? And I like how you said classic because, you know, it reminds me of the hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was asked, nasbi sahalati, right? Who has the most right of my companionship? And now all of us know this hadith, and if we don't, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he responded, your mother. And then he asked them who? He said, your mother. And then he asked them who? And then he said, your mother. And then he said, then who? Your father. Just as we as young men, and sometimes as older men with our mothers, we may be the most vulnerable with them. Literally, when you were born, your vulnerability was the only way that you know how to express yourself. You would cry to communicate, right? And your mother was the one that was there to nurture you.
Yeah.
And that nurturing is an amazing characteristic of the female as well. I mean, men nurture, but women nurture in a way that is, subhanAllah, from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, with their fitrah, with their natural characteristics. But seeing how, when we grow up, we're vulnerable mostly with our mothers. That vulnerability and that emotional expression can also be the opposite. Emotional expression of anger will be with our mothers as well. And that's where it's tricky. When you said classic example, you know, sometimes you may say something, your mother may respond and say, Mom, you don't understand. Just, you don't get it. Right? Just whatever, Mom. We may roll our eyes. They turn around, shut the door, you know, and then, subhanAllah, the mom feels helpless. You know, mom feels helpless. And then we sit there, you know, subhanAllah, thinking about ourselves and not thinking about how we, you know, harmed our mother's feelings, quote unquote. I don't know if any of y'all have seen that with friends or, you know, with that scene. That's what it reminds me of. You know, even with me, subhanAllah, just sharing when the night that, I never forget, I came home, and I've shared this story many times, you know, when I came home real late, San Diego Chargers jersey, big gold chain on, gold teeth, and it's like 3 in the morning, and then my mom is like, why are you coming home late? I said, Mom, you know, I walked past her, and she said, no, you got to talk to me. I walked past her, shut the door, and then something just, boom, just hit me, man. Something just hit me. It was like, bro, this is not right. This is not, and I got on my knees and I just started praying, bro. And I was like, God, just guide me. About 2 weeks later, became Muslim.
SubhanAllah.
When we filmed these, like this whole series, we didn't really have like the full breakdown as to what's going on. You know, a lot of it was just like, okay, go stand over there and look sad. Alright, sounds good.
There wasn't a script.
There wasn't a script.
Yeah.
Which I think was cool because that allowed us to kind of come watch it later on. Mm-hmm. So like, I think for us, I don't know, maybe like you can relate, the series was even more mind-boggling when you could see what we put out there versus what they were able to make it into.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like there's a part where like, you know, you're just looking sad and like, you know, we're trying not to laugh at each other, you know, at some parts and whatnot. But then they make this gut-wrench, like it's like you really feel every like element of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that specific like part of the episode, yeah, I mean, like I was watching it and I'm just like, you know, subhanAllah, I wasn't even thinking about like whole, you know, making fun of him or anything like that. I was just like, dang, like how might my mother?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it kind of captures what you were talking about. I mean, it starts off like, you know, obviously when we're kids, you know, we're like, you know, we're very heavily reliant on our mothers. We cry and lose our minds when they're dropping us off at daycare or kindergarten or whatever, you know, like we're so attached to them. But then you grow up, you know, and automatically, like, you want to be a big boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a big boy, I'm older, I'm this, and everyone shows you're tough, even though you're, like, 5, 6 years old, like, it doesn't really matter.
And mom knows you.
She knows you in and out.
Yes.
But at that point, like, you're fooling nobody, right? And that's kind of the thing that I found to be really interesting in this specific episode was because, like, after watching that, I just, like, it really just made me stop and just reflect on my mom. You know, because at that point in time, like, you know, when my mom's a busy time, it was in and out, I was like, you know, I missed like 3-4 days in a row left out at the house, and my mom was like, you know, like, how come you're not coming home? Like, oh, I got so much going on, like, I'm sorry, like, I'll try to make it, whatever. And I'm like, you know, anyway, I was just like, yeah, like, you know, I'll figure something out, but I just gotta get through all these meetings and these iftars and meet these people and that way, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I saw this episode, and I'm just like, man, like, even though it's not as dramatic as smoking, and it, like, you know, alhamdulillah, like, the smallest things that we think don't matter, right, and how we interact with our moms, like, it's gonna be very, very different. Especially because she's not going to always be there. And it's the biggest thing, I think, by far, that we take for granted is our mothers. By far.
Allah forgive us, man. And that's a strong sign of masculinity, is how you deal with the closest female in your life, which can set a precedent of how you deal with other females in your life.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The female that you respect the most, most likely would be your mom. Right? So if you deal with her in a way, in that way, it can somewhat transfer over to other females, somewhat transfer over to, because the relationship is going to be different between wife and mother, but it's subhanAllah, you know, when you take that for granted and you don't sit back and hold yourself accountable with the one, Rabbayani Sahir, as Allah subhanAllah mentioned, the two parents, they raised me when I was young. You were vulnerable, you were helpless, and she took care of you, you know, subhanAllah. That's so important to reflect on that. It's interesting how you said you're acting the scene and then you watch it, and it can possibly trigger some recall, some moments, or something that you've seen before.
Watching that scene, it's like you think of yourself when you were a teenager. And I think that's when you're the most immature, you're just the loudest, you're the rowdiest, you're the most rebellious. And so it reminded me of, you know, just how I treated my mother when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And it's rough to think about.
It's rough to think about, bro. You know, and I like how you said rowdy, rebellious. I want to make the distinction that is how Allah has created us at that time when the testosterone is just in surges. It's literally just, it's like, it's really just coming out because our puberty is hitting. And that's where it can be tricky because some people will think that is toxic. That it's wrong for the young man to, you know, he's not focusing in class. It's 45-minute class, and you know, after 30 minutes, he's checked out, right? And this is where I have my own issue with like being in the class for 45-55 minutes and there's no physical exertion, there's no way for them to let out their aggression. I mean, countless times I talk to parents and they're talking about their child is aggressive at home and talking about, I ask them, is there any physical aggression or is, you know, a place that they can exert their physicality and release? Right? Because that natural aggression is there, it's the raw material for them to eventually be a protector. So we're looking at this scene, subhanAllah. Again, just, you know, for men, what would you tell these young men in regards to that scene? You know, when you see these young men, it's like, okay, when you look at your mother, when he's dealing with his mother, you know, he was smoking a cigarette to cope with the problem. There are many different ways that young men cope with problems. And that's why, when it comes to a Muslim, adding on to that mechanism of like, okay, what I'm doing, God is watching.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That ihsan, knowing that he's watching you. Though I can't see him, as the Prophet ﷺ said, to worship Allah as though you see him. Though you can't see him, know for a fact that he sees you. So when you're on your laptop, he sees you. When you're on your phone, he sees you. Mm. When you're screaming at your mom, she's calling you from downstairs, and you're on your laptop, and you're like, I'm coming! God! You know, he sees you and hears you, man. Like, what's really more? You got to weigh your options. And that is where masculinity will really, really be important, because you have to make those right choices. That's why SubhanAllah, even in the Son, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, if your mother was to call you, your parent was to call you while you're praying, mm-hmm. you break your prayer. Of course, scholars mentioned if it was obligatory prayer, maybe slightly different, but when you're in your general, generic prayer, you break your prayer to answer the call to your parents.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure. I mean, I'll say this. I mean, you know, my mom's going to have a field day with this episode for sure. You know, she's going to be like, remember when you said this? Now go ahead. I'll take it, honestly.
Yeah, but...
Well, I think one very important element about like what we were just discussing, I mean, first and foremost, regarding like aggression, right, and the development of a man, we are obviously naturally filled with testosterone, especially like at certain age points. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also worth noting that we need to be able to become self-aware at that point in time. Where are we releasing that anger? I mean, for example, for me, I work, you know, like I work with horses, I break horses, I train horses. And it's easy for you to be humble in front of like a, you know, an 800-pound beast, right? And the thing is, some people think like, oh, you got to be tough on it. You'll never win. It's way bigger than you. They're way so powerful, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you go up in front of a horse, and I'll see like the biggest men cower. It's like I go all the way up there, like to get on its back. And even whenever like you're controlling the horse, you have to have like a healthy relationship with it, right? Where you kind of got to guide it and hope, you know, like have a symbiotic relationship. It can't just like aggressively tear its face. Yeah. No, it's not going to work. But at that point in time, you know, like, I was thinking about comparing, you know, obviously, like, the elements of one facing something bigger than you and greater than you mm-hmm. versus, like, you know, facing something that's smaller and weaker, so to speak. Because mm-hmm. at this point in time, I mean, we're all, you know, bigger and stronger than our mothers, mm-hmm. right? As they get older and whatnot, and when we get older, we get stronger. And I think that's, you know, it's very important to kind of make note of that, because you're not a good person if you're facing something more magnificent and powerful mm-hmm. and you kind of humble yourself. That's just your self-interest. Like, you're just preserving yourself. Yeah. The real, you know, understanding of where you're at, you know, your akhlaq and whatnot, is ultimately when you're over in front of something that you don't necessarily have to, you know, control yourself around, but you still do. That's real restraint. That's real masculinity. That's real strength.
So, it reminds me of what Abu Bakr said, you know, وَقَوِيٌ فِيكُمْ ضَعِيفٌ عِنْدِي. Like, the strong one amongst you is weak to me. He's talking about the weak ones that are taken advantage of. Those are the ones that I'm going to return their rights, give them their rights. You know, because if they were taken advantage of by the strong ones, well, that strong man, he's weak to me. And look at that strength of Allah and that authority, man. No, but it's so true. I mean, when you're in a position of authority, you're in a position of power, you're in a position of leadership, and you're not tyrannical with it. Mm-hmm. Right, you're not mm-hmm. oppressive with it. Mm-hmm. Rather, you give it its due right, and that's where, inshallah, you know, in the next scene, in the scene talking about a father and leaving a legacy, you know, I think we have the other scenes coming up talking about fatherhood, and we're even talking about legacy. It was so important, you know.
So for me, I wanna like the advice I wanna give is almost to like the young Muslim guy who was in my shoes, like. Not really involved with the Muslim community, doesn't have masculine guidance, right? Mm-hmm. So like the advice I would give him, you know, for those, you know, watching or listening, understand that your mother, it's part of her nature, her fitra, to nag you a million times. It's just how she was created, man. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be cases where you walk in and she like rushes to you at the door and asks you like, how's your day, where you've been? It's just part of her nature, man. Her nature, her fitra, is like she wants to protect her cubs, man. Mm-hmm. And as a young man, you have to understand that she's not doing this because she wants to annoy you, mm-hmm. because she wants to cause you headaches and stress. She does this because she loves you unconditionally, mm-hmm. and there is probably no one in this world who will mm-hmm. do that other than your mother.
Yeah, man. I mean, even you think about it, like you said, she doesn't want to annoy you. Like, think about it. Would a mother say, when my son's walking in, I want to annoy him? You know what I'm saying? Like, really, you think about it. That reminds me. So I remember when my mother, I used to work at Kroger as a sacker. Mm-hmm. I was 13. Mm-hmm. I used to walk to work back, and, you know, it was a long walk, but my mother told me that to start paying the water bill.
I was so mad. Like, that's my only money. I get to go out and hang out with the, you know, the crew. You get to chill. She's like, no, you're going to pay the water bill. And I was mad, but I'm not going to lie. It's not like they needed the money, but I'm so thankful for that. Because it's teaching me responsibility.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And like you're saying, you know, when you walk in the door, mom's asking you 100,000 questions. You got to know that she's asking because she wants you to be a better version of yourself in her eyes. I think the safest route I always tell young guys is like, mom loves me and she wants what's best for me. That's what she's doing. And just put your head down and just answer her call.
Yep.
That's the best route. It may not be something you want to do, but life is not about what you want to do.
Mm.
And that's another important thing for a man to know. It's not about always what you want.
Mm.
It's about what needs to get done.
Mm.
Right? So,
Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, brothers. MashaAllah, Muhammad. Brother Norman, MashaAllah, may Allah bless you all for taking your time. How long did it take to do this series, by the way?
So, they filmed all of December and January. So, they did 2 months of shooting.
It was crunch time. I mean, the man was telling me he was there for like hours upon hours each day.
Yeah, so I come to set like after work. I get here like 5:36, and I'd be here sometimes like 11, midnight, 1 a.m.
MashaAllah. May Allah put in your mizan, your scale of good deeds, inshallah.
Amen.
Allah use you as a means to get a really good message across.
Mm-hmm.
Again, tune into this series. It's called Why Me? Speaking about primarily predestination. And it's beautiful because it's packed with so many gems that Dr. Omar Suleiman has put in there. I mean, with ayat and ahadith and athar, yani the verses and statements of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and statements from our pious predecessors and teachers. It's very, very important because it gives you what they call tafsir al-ilmi. It gives you foundational knowledge in this very, very, very important chapter of the human being's life. Not only the Muslim, but the human being's life. Understanding the knowledge of God and what that means in our life. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. Thank you for tuning in to the Iman Cave, where we discuss issues of male excellence while being grounded in faith. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.